Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or
receive
services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Iris Bunshaft. And we are having really a tremendous conversation with Dr. Justine. And just before we go forth with some practical things in reference to seniors, at the earlier break you were talking in reference to statistics for transplants, which is just, I think, interesting numbers, if you don't mind repeating some of them.
Oh, no, not a doubt. And as I mentioned prior, NYU is now doing cardiac transplants. That's
okay.
Part of my my training. But there are over 20,000 patients waiting for a heart. Once the pumping function gets very low and you require drips or machines to maintain your life, there are about 20,000 patients waiting for hearts. But there are only about 3,000 transplants per year in the United States.
Wow.
So
now, those 20,000 waiting for a heart, are they all hospitalized, like on a pump, or no, they can actually live? I mean, live. They get.
We have different classes,
okay.
Status for where you are on the list. So as an organ becomes available, it's contingent on your status. If you're in the hospital on multiple drips or on a machine, your status one. So you would be higher on the list. But there are different categories of status. Patients can be at home.
It can be. Oh, okay.
And they have a pager, and they can, when the pager goes off, they have a certain amount of time to get to the hospital.
Wow, that's amazing.
But they can be at home, maintained on drips and maintained on with machines, something called a left ventricular assist device.
But they're not really going out and about.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I just mentioned the word left ventricular assist device. Because there are so many patients waiting for a transplant and because human organs are not readily available, they've developed machines that assist the heart. We were talking prior about
right.
Barney Clark or the baboon heart. We really haven't found a complete
replacement
for the heart. So rather than replacing the heart, we have little machines called left ventricular assist devices. We were discussing before the right side of the heart and the left side of the heart. The left side of the heart is the real machine of the body. So as that machine breaks down or isn't pumping as well, the left ventricular assist device is placed into the ventricle and at the core. And then another tubing or conduit is placed into the aorta. And that can replicate the output, the normal physiologic output of a human heart.
Wow.
So as you exercise, the output will increase and it'll maintain your blood flow to your brain and to your muscles and keep the blood flowing through the lungs so that the appropriate exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide may occur.
So the person can be ambulatory, can leave their home or not?
They have beautiful pictures of patients swimming with their devices, some of them.
With a boat next to them. A rowboat, somebody keeping up with them. But that's wonderful that they can get out. And, you know, it's terrible that you have to wait for a heart. Mm. But to think you might sit in your home for a year waiting for to be called, at least you can go on and enjoy life to a degree.
There's, with the left ventricular assist devices, there are two categories. There's something called a bridge, which is a bridge to transplant. So as you're waiting for a transplant, you live with the machine, and there's something called a destination therapy. So with destination therapy, you may not be a good candidate for a heart transplant, and then you would be living with your left ventricular assist devices. And
so this device is exterior. It is not an implant.
It's implanted.
Oh, it is implanted. That's why you're ambulatory.
Correct.
Okay.
It does have, to rewind on the history of the device, it started out quite large. Patients, they have the old photos of patients walking with almost appears like a shopping cart, and they were attached to the device. Then they became implantable. They're about the size of a waffle iron, and they were pulsatile. Although that kind of limited, you needed a large thorax or chest size. So for women or children or smaller people, it wasn't as accommodating in terms of sizing. And now they're about the
that
size.
That actual machine was put inside you?
Now it's the size of
a
cigar.
No, not that machine obviously was not put inside you.
No, it was tubing connected to the machine.
Okay.
tubing connected to the machine. And now they're about the size of a cigar. And
cigars have a bad reputation, but okay.
Well, Freudian, yes. Sometimes a cigar is not always a cigar. It may be what's keeping you alive. But they're rotational, so they have less moving parts, so they're more durable. So they can have less breakdown, and they can, some of them can snap in and out. So as the device longevity is reduced, you can snap in a new one. You can snap in a new device, and you have an external drive line that is connected to a battery. So you need to charge your batteries.
What helpful information can we give our listeners right now, you know, about every day, those who are not in, don't require transplants? In other words, something more practical that we can use right now.
I think we were talking about being active and staying healthy.
Right.
I think, you know, we talked about having this machine and going out. Hippocrates said one of the best medications is walking, being active. Mm-hmm. Your 2 feet are some of the two best pills. So being active and walking is some of the best things that keep your mind active. There was a recent study also that showed that it improves your cognitive function if you're walking outside. So I think being active and getting as much activity as you can and being healthy is the best thing we can do. And I think also in terms of being active is you want to reach care once you start noticing something is going wrong.
Okay.
So if you can't walk as far, or if you can't put your shoes on because your feet are swollen, or if you're short of breath going up the stairs in your home. So once you notice something starts going wrong, getting the correct medical care so that we can intervene sooner rather than later. Because getting a machine you don't want to start doing that when you're very sick, because then it's a riskier procedure. Mm-hmm. So you want to, number one, prevent getting to that point by controlling your blood pressure, having a good diet, being active, preventing heart attacks, watching your cholesterol. So just being healthy at baseline is one of the most important.
Okay, symptoms are the other thing. We all talk about the general ones, which you've already mentioned. But oftentimes people might not go to the emergency room or to their doctor because they say, oh, the pain that I feel in my chest, it's muscular, or I overexerted the other day. How does one differentiate between emergency and, you know, just normal pain due to whatever else we were doing?
I think that's an excellent question. And I think once you start asking yourself, what is that? I think it's time to bring that to a medical professional. It's not good to diagnose yourself. I think Dr. Google has been causing, exactly. Dr. Google has not been very,
so many
has
people
not
gone
to medical
stones,
school.
Cancer, this, that, and the other thing. And it's just gas. I mean, you go to Google and guess what? You're dying.
Yeah.
Because you have that symptom. I agree with you 100%. It's just, you know, if it's severe enough, you go to the emergency room.
You see your doctor.
Or your regular doctor, right.
You start with seeing your doctor. Of course, if it's something quite severe, undoubtedly, yes, go to the emergency room. But if anything is different, it's not unreasonable. If your car starts making noise, you don't say, oh, that's a brake. I think I'm going to wait till I crash into something. So I think once you notice something is wrong, to reach out. You know, there are several of institutions. You could go to urgent care or see a regular doctor. I know we're very accommodating in our practice to see patients same day or, you know, with as soon as possible.
Actually, you know what? We didn't give out a number for you.
Thank you.
Actually, to give out a number, if somebody does have an interest in calling and has a situation like we're talking about, what's the number they would call to make an appointment?
It's 516-663-4480.
That's your office?
That's our office,
yes. That's 516-663-4480.
Correct.
Perfect. And that's if you get Dr. Lockman. Because, I mean, that's the point. Some of this stuff, I personally believe that 90% of the people know what they're doing wrong. They just can't change it, which is fine. I mean, somebody who's 450 pounds knows there's an issue coming someday down the road. Somebody who, whatever, never sedentary, etc. But it makes sense to have an appointment. and just get someone like Dr. Lockman to turn around and say, guess what, you got to move a little bit. Your sodium is too high. Your legs are swollen. There's a few things that don't change your life dramatically, but could help it dramatically.
Correct.
You know, give up beer every night, something like this. I mean, you know, I'm just making up stuff, but it's the truth.
I hope you're not telling the truth, you know.
No.
Okay. At any rate.
Beer during the day, not at night. You don't wait till the night.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry, Iris. Threw you off there.
No, my own fault.
But we have an excellent nutritionist in our practice. She gives exercise schedules because, yes, it is challenging. But, you know, if somebody is there for you and somebody is coaching you along the way.
Now you've just said something. So, in other words, you're not just a straight cardiologist. You have a group of people that you're working with and you're addressing each of the problems. Tell us about your practice.
Yes. So we have an integrated practice. We have an excellent nutritionist. We have a cardiac rehab on site also. We have an electrophysiologist. We have invasive cardiologists.
Is this a particular unit within the cardiology department? I'm getting something.
What is the private practice on the side? How does that work?
Private practice on the side. We're employed by the hospital.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
We're employed by the hospital. We have a practice. So we see patients, and then we can follow those patients in the hospital. But we have an excellent imaging department where we do cardiac MRIs. We do stress tests. We can look for congenital abnormalities doing bubble studies or the MRIs. The CAT scans of the heart have looking for calcium scoring has become quite mainstream also.
That's been going on for a long time, and that wasn't always respected. So you're saying now that it's come to the forefront and it's something that is addressed?
It's contingent on your risk factors. If you're healthy and your cholesterol is normal, you don't have a family history, that shouldn't be the first test you're having. But if you're an intermediate risk patient,
right,
it's not, according to the guidelines, you can have a calcium scoring.
And so then what happens then? How is that treated?
So we were discussing...
Unfortunately, that we're going to find out when you call Dr. Lockman. It's amazing how fast this goes. But we're out of time. Dr. Lockman's phone number again is 516-663-4480. And it's not just heart, which is tremendous. I mean, your knowledge is great. But there's a whole practice. So they can get you on a diet. They can get you walking. They can get you exercising. All the proper things to be heart healthy. Okay, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Lockman, for being with us. You're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.